Tell the person beside you, remember what is at stake. The word remember is used a lot in scripture. And as we were taking the Lord's body and blood, as symbolized through the unleavened bread and wine, we remember what Christ said when he spoke to his disciples. He told them to remember, to do this in remembrance of his death. Many a times what Satan tries to do to the people of God is to take our eye off the ball and forget what is at stake. There's some things we shouldn't remember, and there's some things we should not forget. One of the things that we shouldn't forget as believers, no matter how we came to the Lord and how long we have been in the Lord, we should always remember what is at stake in our walk with the Lord. Anyway, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. Apart from that, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, because nobody knows about God's kingdom unless God himself reveals it. Are we together, brethren? Even people who go to Bible school, we can go to Bible school for 3 years or 4 years, have a degree, a certificate, and still not know about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So Paul had the privilege and the great honor of receiving the mysteries, the revelations of the kingdom of God and the things of heaven, to the point that Peter said in his epistle that some of the things that Paul wrote were difficult to understand. That's how privileged Paul was. But Paul remembered what was at stake. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's the main thing. And one of the things that Satan does, even in the world where you have war, what the enemy does is to always try to distract. Where am I going to? If we remember what is at stake, it will help us in our walk. In times of trouble, in times of testing, in times of trial, in times of affliction, in times of persecution, times of disappointment, discouragement, despondency. We can't explain what we're going through. At the times of seduction and temptation and all forms of attacks of the enemy, is the fact that we always remember what is at stake that will help us through our walk with Christ. I'm sure many of you would have realized this too. We are slowly, as a church, I'm talking church in general, we are slowly, as a church, sliding into the motions of religion. And we know what to do on Sunday, we know what to sing, we know what to preach, we know how to engage in activities. And slowly, that is becoming a religion. And it's as we continue to remember what is at stake, that would help us. Let's open our Bibles as we journey together in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. This is a man that remembered all through his ministry what was at stake. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that's after the book of Romans, from verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all,
But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. So run that ye may obtain. Our walk with the Lord is so individualized. When we get saved, we get saved as individuals. And as we continue the walk with Christ, yes, we're in the body, but we continue that walk as an individual. And Paul is saying in the book of Corinthians that not everyone that starts the race gets the prize. He says once again in verse 24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" If you know the Olympics, for instance, and they're doing, maybe let's say it's a sprint, maybe 100 meters, 200 meters, and you have 8 people or 9 people who might be contesting. The 7th, the 6th, the 8th, the 9th, deep down within them, they know that it's most likely they will not win the race. But at least they have been there. At least they took part. At least they represented their country. It doesn't work that way in the spiritual. In the spiritual, the one who is running has to run with the eye of obtaining the prize. And this is what Paul was saying here. He said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." So in this verse, Paul is telling us that our walk in Christ is a race. And they are competitors who don't want us to run that race and obtain the prize. The competitors are the evil spirits, the powers of darkness, Satan and his agents, Satan and his cohorts. And they don't want us to finish the race. Because Satan knows that if a person starts and doesn't end, his starting doesn't matter. I say that again. The devil knows that if a person starts and does not finish, the starting does not matter. So Paul here, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling the church then, and by extension, the church today, that there is something at stake when we come to the Lord, when we embrace the cross, when we've accepted Christ as Lord, as Savior, as our Maker, as our Redeemer, as our Advocate, as the Lamb, as the one who is the beginning, the end, the first, the last, who was, who is to come, the El Shaddai. Once we have received Christ Jesus as the rock, there's something at stake. It's more than walking through the doors of a church. There's something at stake. It's more than being involved in church. There's something at stake. And for those who are here, wherever I go, I've been telling people now that church has become a religion. It's the activity and the motions, and people don't seem to understand that there's something at stake. So Paul was telling the church, run, but don't just run like the people in the Olympics who know they wouldn't win anyway, but they want to partake and participate. Run to obtain. And the word race is used twice in the New Testament, and on both occasions it has to do with our walk with the Lord. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, can I ask a sincere question? And I know you'll give me a sincere answer. I'm not tripping you up. How many of us have We're reading the Bible. We're reading the scriptures. We're opening the Holy Writ. And we're beginning to see that there's something wrong with the messages of today. How many people have come to... you know, you begin, Holy Spirit begins to say, there's something wrong. What I read in the Bible, what I read in the epistles, what I read about what the apostles wrote, and I listen to the sermons of the day, there's a disconnect. And Paul here says in Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, that's the word, the race that is set before us. The race. As I round up, in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. This is one verse that I call a very categorical verse that requires no further explanation. It simply means, in another way, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And when Paul writes, he's not writing to the world. He's writing to the church. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I may be called Pastor Samson Jebutu of Moment of Truth Ministry, of Dream Revival and Awakening all over the world. But without holiness, I will not see the Lord. And there may be somebody else who, nobody knows her. She's quiet. She's not given anything to do in the church. Nobody recognizes her. She's not up to that standard. But that dear sister is living in holiness. Guess what? She will go and see the Lord. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And that now links to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 about the race. And if that's the case, if I am truly going to be called of God, I'm going to emphasize the very thing that will make the people of God to see God. Not prosperity. Brethren, I say this with, the Lord sees my heart, with all humility. Prophecy is important, but prophecy has become an idol. Preaching of prophecy has become an idol. And we can preach and teach and understand prophecy and still not be holy. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Can I preach? And although I've been preaching for some... In Africa... In the bush of Africa, there are some people who don't understand all the eschatology that we talk about. But they are holy. They are sanctified. They love God. They desire the Lord. You can see the sincerity, the transparency. You can see the image of Christ upon them. They will get to the kingdom of God. And like Christ said, in other words, the theologians we kept out God's kingdom because they didn't emphasize the important thing. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. In verse 15, looking diligently, lest any fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be... One of the things the Lord taught me very early in ministry is that when I preach, time to pray. It's not the clapping afterwards. But people need time to pray in the word of God. So that as we pray, God's grace now will enable us to be doers of the things that we have heard. Christ is coming not for a Catholic church, not coming for evangelical church, not coming for, there's so many denominations now, I don't even know where to start from. He's coming for a glorious church. And the Bible defines what a glorious church is. Without spot, without wrinkle, blemish. Let's take it one step further before we pray. Yet that church isn't building the people of God. So when he says he's coming for a glorious church, a glorious person or people of God, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And everyone that will be in that category are those who always remembered what was at stake. They kept their body under subjection. Let's rise to pray. Let's commit our lives into the hands of the Lord. We need the grace of God. Satan is working overtime, but thank God, we have a God who does not sleep, does not slumber. We have a compassionate Father who is ready and willing to hear our prayers. Why don't you just open your hearts unto the Lord and just pray. It's a personal prayer now. It's a personal prayer. It has nothing to do with children, with wife, with husband. You ask Lot. When Lot's wife turned back, Lot didn't turn back with her. He said, no. This is an individual thing. I met the Lord as an individual, and if I'm going to continue, I will have to continue as an individual. I need to ensure that by the grace of God, my eye is on the ball. I know what is at stake. And you say, Lord, I need your grace, Lord. I need you, Lord, to help me. I need you, Lord, to grant me the grace. I need you, Lord, the strength. If there's any spot in our life, isn't it a wonderful thing that we're in the house of the Lord today? We can ask, Lord, cleanse me, Lord. Every spot, every wrinkle, every blemish, every defilement, every pollution, any depravity, any iniquity, any unrighteousness, any besetting sin, any weight at all, Lord God Almighty, whatever it might be, Lord, that I've been struggling with, Lord, today in the house of the Lord, today being the day we've had our Lord's Supper, and there's still power in the blood of Jesus Christ, the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ, the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ that can break every yoke, that can cleanse every stain, that can cleanse every spot, that can give victory over the flesh, that can give victory over my attitude, that can give victory over my behavior, that can give victory over every besetting sin. That is when we have done church. If we come to church and we go back the same, we haven't done church. But when we come to church and we leave the church more like Christ, more of holiness, more of righteousness, more of the image of God, more of the cleansing of God, more of the purity of God, more of the grace of God. Aha! It's then that we've actually done church. Let's pray that God will touch our lives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of the Lamb, and the blood of the Lamb can wash us and cleanse us and purify us. Oh Lord, every area of the flesh that I know does not glorify thee, that I know if I should tell my brother beside me, if I tell my sister beside me, she will be surprised. But Lord God Almighty, I present myself before thee, because nothing can be hidden before thy eyes. Everything is naked before thee, Lord. Lord, look into my life, I pray, and use the power in the blood of the Lamb. I want to run this race to the end. I want to run this race certainly. I want to run this race and obtain the crown, the incorruptible crown, the crown of glory, the crown of life, the crown that is eternal, the crown that is incorruptible. But I know, Lord, if I do not keep under my body, and yet, Lord, I don't have the strength, I don't have the power, but I come to Christ. He is my strength. He is my power. He is my sanctifier. He is my cleanser. cleanser. He can cleanse me. He can purify me. He's my empowerer. He can empower me. He can give me grace over those things that have been putting me down. He's the one that's able to make me holy and pure. Lord, he's the one that can give me the strength and the power. Lord, I come before the throne of grace and I pray, Lord, for your grace, Lord God Almighty. I have no excuse for the flesh. I have no excuse for the works of the body. When I have the word of God, I have the power of God, I have the grace of God, I have the blood of Jesus, I have the spirit of the living God. Lord God Almighty, there shouldn't be any excuse. Lord, I come before the throne of grace. I am praying that you will purge me, you will cleanse me, you will purify me, you will make me holy, Lord God Almighty, because you're coming for a glorious church. All the weaknesses, Lord, you will take away. Lord, all the things that not glorify your name, Lord, you will take away. I believe, Lord, that you're able to do it. And as we tell the Lord, he's faithful. We have a faithful God. 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 If we ask the Lord to do it, he will purify our lives. He will beautify our lives. He will transform us into the image of his Son. Heavenly Father, we pray. Father in heaven, we have a race to run. But Lord, we cannot run this race with weight. The weight will weigh us down. The weight will allow the enemy to catch up with us. The weight will not allow us, Lord, to run from temptation when it comes. That's why you have brought your word unto us today. Now we need to remember what really is at stake. What really is at stake isn't coming to church every Sunday. It's more than that. There is an incorruptible crown waiting your people that we know Satan wants to snatch away from us. That's why you've admonished us this day that we need to run the race as people who are certain of why they are running, not just beating the air. And that therefore means, Lord, keep our body under. Father in heaven, we thank you because when you give your word, you are the same God who gives the grace for the word to be done. We don't have the strength. We don't have the power. And thank God you're not looking for those who are strong. After all, the Bible says not many wise are called, not many noble, not many strong. But you call the weak to confound the strong. Lord God Almighty, therefore, we present ourselves before you, particularly your brethren, your children here, Lord, who have come out this morning. Father, we pray, God in heaven, that the power in the blood of Jesus Christ will transform and translate and transfigure and transpose, Heavenly Father, Lord, your children at this time in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are all running this race as individuals. So we don't even need to know why our brethren have responded. But Lord, whatever it might be, Lord, we are praying that the power in the blood of Christ will grant them victory, complete victory, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For as many who are also praying that haven't come out, but Lord, you see the hearts of your people. Lord, we pray this word today will do wonders in our life. Lord, we shall run this race without weight. We shall run this race without besetting sin. We shall run this race, mighty God, subjecting the flesh and the body by your grace and by your power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you've reminded us, Lord, that your own very people, the Israelites, they started, but it didn't end. The Bible says they were wasted in the wilderness. Unless we think that is Old Testament, Paul uses that as an example in the New Testament. Father God in heaven, we are praying therefore that you will help us. You will hold our hands. With you all things are possible. With you, we can run this race. With you, we can have victory. With you, we can conquer the devil. With you, we can conquer the flesh. With you, we can conquer sin. With you, we can conquer the besetting evil that comes along the way. With you, we can conquer, Lord, the seduction of the wicked one. With you, Lord, we can conquer every stain, every spot, every wrinkle, every blemish. Lord, we look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we therefore, Lord, pray that you will uphold us, you will strengthen us, you will empower us, Lord, for this race in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know there's a catalog of people who started and didn't finish. Lord, that will not be our portion. That will not happen to us, Lord. We have set our hands upon the plow, and we're not looking back. Lord, you strengthen us by your grace. Father, Lord, after today's service, let every one of us, Lord God Almighty, have a new zeal, new power, new holiness, new righteousness, new godliness, new Christ-likeness, Lord, to run this race. We will set our face as a flint. Lord, we'll not be diverted, we'll not be distracted in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Things that we have to deal with individually in order to run this race successfully, you give us grace and strength to deal with those things once and for all in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, beautify our lives, we pray. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we glorify your name. And the people of God say, amen and amen. God bless you, brethren.